I want you to open your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I'll begin reading in verse 36. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. These are the words of Jesus. In Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And that Jesus is talking about the day and hour when he'll return while the resurrection of the dead saints and the rapture of the living saints. And he makes it clear that no man knows the day or hour when Jesus will come again. I don't know when Jesus will come again. You don't know when Jesus will come again. The preacher on the TV don't know when Jesus will come again. And the man who wrote the book telling you when he's coming again don't know neither. Says no man knows the day or hour when the Lord will come, not even the angels in heaven. And then he goes on to say in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Then down in verse 42, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." And then in verse number 44, Jesus said, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach tonight. Preach through me in the power of the Spirit and the clarity that can come only from the touch of the Holy Spirit. Open our hearts that we'll attend unto the things that are spoken. And Father, accomplish within us tonight what you desire to accomplish in this service. For it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. The verses we've read tonight talk about the time when Jesus Christ will return for the resurrection of the dead saints and the rapture of the living saints. All Christians in fundamental churches have heard a great deal about the return of Christ and all that will take place in the last days before the coming of Christ and what will happen when Jesus comes to the clouds and the trump sounds. All that's going to take place out in the cemetery and across the world as Christ gathers up his children to be with him for the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Even people who've never been in church have heard about the return of Jesus Christ. But we're living in a day when a lot of people seem to have the idea that just prior to the time that Jesus Christ returns to take the church out of the world, there's going to be some great sign, some cataclysmic event that will announce to the world that the coming of Christ is imminent to give people the opportunity to do what's needed and necessary to get ready for the coming of Christ and all that will take place when Jesus comes to the clouds. Now, what's going to happen, what that sign will be, or what that event will be, varies from group to group. There are many different theories and ideas, but there are those within Christianity in these last days who are convinced that Christ would never come without giving a forewarning, without giving some kind of great sign or some kind of cataclysmic event that people can see and realize Christ is coming back in the next few days or the next few weeks or the next few months, so that the lost world will have an opportunity to get saved and Christians will have the opportunity to do what's needed and necessary to prepare themselves and their family for the return of Jesus Christ. And that's one of the reasons I think a lot of people won't get saved. And that's one of the reasons that a lot of Christians live such careless and uncommitted lives. They believe there's going to be that sign, that cataclysmic event, some kind of warning that will be visible to the human population, and everyone will know that time has come for Christ to come, and they've got to get ready now because His coming is imminent. But folks, that's not true. And we see that in our text tonight. In our text, the Bible says in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And that means just prior to the flood, just prior to the coming of Christ, world conditions will be like they were just prior to the time that the flood came in Noah's day. And preachers preach about this a great deal. I've heard many sermons where the preacher dealt with that verse of Scripture where it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And most of the time when preachers talk about that, they talk about how the world had become corrupt before God, and the world was filled with violence, and the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And certainly those things were true in the days of Noah just before the flood, but they preach that in a way that would imply and indicate that you'll be able to look out and see when all of these terrible things begin to occur, and that'll be a sign that you've only got hours or days left before the Lord comes, so that people will have this forewarning and do what they have to do in order to be saved. Now certainly Jesus said that world conditions will return to what they were just before the flood, just prior to the time that Christ comes. But I want you to notice what world conditions Jesus talks about in the next verse. In verse number 36, he said, verse 37, he said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." But then in verse 37, he says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And when Jesus talked about world conditions prior to the flood, he's talking about things that had gone on since the beginning of time. Life was continuing day after day, uninterrupted, just like it had since the day that God created the world. People were eating and drinking, married and giving in marriage, and there was no sign, no cataclysmic event, no great thing took place to warn the world that now the flood is really coming, like Noah's been preaching for 120 years. I know you've ignored Noah all this time, but now this shows you that the flood is just around the corner. 2 days from now, 2 weeks from now, the flood's coming, so you better repent. That's not true. The day before the flood came was no different than any other day in human history. The week before the flood came was no different than any other week in human history. The month and the year before the flood came was no different than any other day in human history. In fact, if I understand what Christ says, the very day the flood came, people were doing the same thing they'd done the day before. They got up, they went to work, the kids went to school, the women did housework, people worked in the yard, they had weddings and people attended weddings and people got married. There was no great sign, no cataclysmic event, no forewarning. One day the flood was not there, the next day the flood was there. That's the reason they knew not and they were taken away. It's because they had no forewarning. There was no sign, there was no cataclysmic event. People went to bed the night before the flood thinking the next day would be just like the day they had lived through, because there was no sign. And Jesus said, that's the way it's going to be just prior to the time I return to the clouds to gather my children. The day before Christ comes will be just like any other day in human history. Life will continue on from the time that Jesus ascended to the Father to the time He comes to the clouds, uninterrupted, unchanged, just like it has. In fact, Jesus talked about that earlier. He said there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, famine, earthquakes, earthquakes in diverse places. He said everything's going to go on just like it always has. Won't be anything special happen that somebody can look and say, oh, Jesus is coming in the next 24 hours. He's coming in the next 48 hours. He'll be here next Thursday at 3 o'clock. There won't be anything special occur that would any way give you any premonition that the Lord's about to come. The day the Lord comes, people will get up and go to work. Children will get up and go to school. People will go to Walmart. People will buy gas in their car. People will go to wedding rehearsals, and some will have weddings. There'll be people die that day. People will attend funerals that day. No doubt surgeries will be performed that day. When the sun comes up the day the Lord returns, people will look out and it'll be just like the day before and every other day of their life. There will not be any great sign. There will not be any cataclysmic event. There's not going to be any forewarning to give you the opportunity to do what you have to do in order to be ready for the coming of Christ. That's why Jesus said in verse 42, watch therefore, and then in verse 44, he said, therefore be ye also ready. He said that because there's no way, my friend, to know for sure when Jesus Christ is going to come. Therefore, if you're going to be ready for the coming of Christ, my friend, you've got to be ready all the time because he could come at any time. And that's what the Lord's trying to get us to see tonight. Now, if that's true, if there's not going to be any great sign or cataclysmic event to tell the world Christ is coming in 30 minutes or an hour, a week or a month or a year, how in the world can we really be ready for Christ to come at any moment? That's what I want to talk with you about tonight. There are some things that we have to do. Listen to me. If we're going to be ready all the time to meet Jesus, there are some things that we've got to do faithfully. There are some things we've got to do consistently. There are some things that we've got to do continually. Otherwise, when the Lord comes, you're not gonna be ready. Now, what are these things that we've got to do faithfully, continually, and consistently in order to be ready for the Lord to come whenever that might take place? Number one, if you're gonna be ready for the Lord to come at any moment, then you must never, under any circumstances, go anywhere you wouldn't want to be when Jesus comes. Listen, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't want to be in a bar with a beer in your hand when Jesus comes. If you're a Christian, you wouldn't want to be in a club when Jesus comes. If you're a Christian, you wouldn't want to be on a dance floor when Jesus comes. If you're a Christian, you wouldn't want to be at some wild party where they're drinking and drunk and smoking dope and cussing and carrying on like a bunch of heathens somewhere. When Jesus comes, you wouldn't want to be sitting in a movie house looking at a Hollywood movie. When Jesus comes, you wouldn't want to be in a gambling casino pulling the slot machine. When Jesus comes, I guarantee you, you wouldn't want to be in the bed with somebody else's husband or wife. And when Jesus comes, you wouldn't want to be shacked up with somebody you're not married to. Now, Christians do a lot of those things. But they do them because they're counting on a sign, some kind of cataclysmic event that they'll see in the sky or read about in the newspaper and say, boy, Christ is coming now. I got to get ready. And they might be able to run out of that place and get on their knees and get right before he makes it to the clouds and the trumpet comes. But since there's no way to tell when he's coming, then if we're going to be ready for the coming of the Lord all the time as Christians, then we must under no circumstances ever go anywhere we wouldn't want to be if Jesus came. Because the day you go might be the day he comes. Oh, preacher, it wouldn't bother me if the Lord come back and find me in any of those places. I'm saved, and if you're saved, it don't matter where you are, you're going to heaven. Well, that's true. But if you're not concerned about him finding you there, why do you try to keep the preacher from seeing you going in and coming out? Why do you try to keep the church crowd from finding out? Why do you try to, when you get out of the car, look around? Make sure nobody from Fellowship Bible Baptist Church can see. I'll give you one better than that. Some of you can relate to that. What I'm about to say, when you were a child, how many of you remember your daddy telling you not to go somewhere, but you went anyway? Told you not to go to somebody's house, somebody's party, but you went anyway. While you was there having a big time, you turned around, and who walked in? His daddy. You remember how embarrassed you were? You remember how humiliated you were when daddy took your arm and led you out or drug you out, whichever the case happened to be? Well, if you don't want your preacher to find you there, and if you was embarrassed when your daddy caught you there, how do you think you're going to feel when the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died on the cross and suffered your hell so you could go to heaven, comes back and finds you in one of those places you know that you're not supposed to be? So if you're going to do what this verse says, be ready for him to come, then of necessity, you must never under any circumstance go anywhere that you wouldn't want to be when he comes, because when you get there, that might be the time he comes. Next time you get ready to slip in one of those places, ask yourself, what if Jesus comes while I'm in there? So number one, you're going to be ready for the Lord to come, and under no circumstance go anywhere you wouldn't want to be when Jesus comes. Number two, you're going to be ready for Jesus to come, under no circumstance ever neglect any of your Christian duties. Bible says if we're saved, we have some God-given duties. God has assigned us some duties. And he gave us these duties because they help us stay close to God. And it's through performing those duties that we actually serve God to one extent, in one sense of the word. And my friend, if you're really, truly going to be ready for Jesus to come anytime, and the Bible says he can come at any time, listen, we're not waiting for some kind. You're not going to pick up the newspaper in the morning here in Salem, wherever I am, where am I? In Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and see where something happened, and it's going to say, this proves that Christ is going to be here for dark tonight. That's not going to happen. He could come at any time. And if you're really going to be ready, then never under any circumstance go anywhere you don't want to be when he comes. But number two, never under any circumstances neglect any of your Christian duties. You wouldn't want Jesus to come on Wednesday night while we're down here studying the Bible and find you at home watching television. I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling now. Fixing to get serious. This is the last night I'm going home. That's okay. I ain't worried about you coming back tomorrow night. That's why I saved this until tonight. You wouldn't want Jesus to come back 10 o'clock on Sunday morning while God's people down here studying the Bible and find you at home asleep. You certainly wouldn't want Jesus to come on Sunday at 11 o'clock while God's people are gathering in God's house listening to God's man preach God's word on God's day all over this country and find you at the family reunion or grandma's 90th birthday or on the golf course or the ball game. You can't tell them you didn't know this happened in church. We've been doing it 2,000 years. People call and say, oh, preacher, I forgot you. How can you forget something we've been doing 2,000 years? We didn't just start it 2 months ago. You wouldn't want Jesus to come find you hadn't read your Bible or prayed in a week. I don't believe if you're a Christian, you want Jesus to come find you never read the Bible all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. My partner on the tent, Brother Dan Carr, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, had a man in for revival when he first started preaching. And a man got up and said, listen, some Christian never read the Bible all the way through. Can you believe that? Some preachers never read. Brother Carr, can you believe that? Brother Carr said, oh, it's terrible. He said, no, I never read it all the way through. But he did that week, bless God. You wouldn't want Jesus to come back if you're a Christian and discover that you had never, ever worked in any ministry of your church. All you've ever done is sit on a pew. You wouldn't want Jesus to come find you hadn't been getting your tithe lately. You sure wouldn't want to come find you never tithe. That you a God robber. Now, I didn't say that, Malachi did. You wouldn't want Jesus to come find you never led anybody to the Lord your whole Christian life, and that you never even tried to win anybody to the Lord in your whole Christian life. Now, if he came tonight, our church is full of folks just like what I'm talking about tonight. But you wouldn't want him to come and find you unfaithful. And if there was going to be some sign, some cataclysmic event that would proclaim to the world and everybody know the Lord's going to come back in a week or a month or 2 days or 24 hours, you might have time to run out and do some of that before he gets you. You might even go to the bank and borrow the money for all the time you've been stealing it. What difference? They can't get it back. You're going in the rapture. But since there's no way to know when he's coming, never, under any circumstance, neglect your Christian duties. I'm preaching a series on the return of Christ in my church at 8:30. And I told my folks the other day, if I was the Lord, I'd come back Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Or I'd come back Sunday night on Super Bowl Sunday. Plan it that way. Our text said, therefore, be also ready. How are you going to be ready when there's not going to be any warning, no sign, no cataclysmic event? Well, there's some things you got to do continually, consistently, faithfully, every day of your life, because you never know what day's coming. Number one, never under any circumstances go anywhere you wouldn't want to be when Jesus comes. Number two, never under any circumstances neglect any of your Christian duties. Number three, always take advantage of every opportunity you have to lead your family to Jesus and salvation. The Bible says when Christ comes, there's going to be a great separation. The Bible says that the saved are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But the lost are going to be left on this earth to die lost and be cast into the lake of fire if they had an opportunity to hear the gospel and get saved before Christ comes. The saved will be separated from the lost, and the lost will be separated from the saved. Saved wives will be separated from their lost husbands. Saved husbands will be separated from their lost wives. Saved parents will be separated for all eternity from their lost children. And saved children will be separated from their lost parents. Oh, what a terrible thing it's going to be when the Lord comes. And if you've got unsaved loved ones and you're really saved, I know that you don't want to go up to meet the Lord and leave your saved loved ones behind knowing what they're going to live in during the tribulation and knowing they've heard the gospel and had a chance to be saved. Therefore, they'll never have another chance. They'll die without hope and be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. You don't want your lost loved ones left in that. Now, if there's going to be some great sign, some cataclysmic event that you make you aware that you've only got hours or days before the Lord comes, you might run around in those last minutes and win some of your family. But since you don't know when He's coming, you've got to take advantage of every opportunity you have to lead your family to Jesus and salvation. Because that opportunity might be your last opportunity before Jesus. I was leading a sermon the other day. This preacher said, the pastor said, the young teenage girl who had been visiting his church died unexpectedly. The family called and asked him to preach the funeral. When he got to the funeral home for the wake or the viewing, depends on whether you're white or black. We try to wake ours up. Y'all just look at it. Whites call it a wake. You call it a view. I learned a lot in 29 years. One day I told my sister, my sister was visiting our church. And the day before, I found a big bag of marijuana on our church property. And I was telling the folks at church, my sister's standing there. And I said, listen, this is good stuff. This was cultured marijuana. My sister said, how do you know what about cultured marijuana? And one of my ladies said, we taught him a lot. So when he got to the funeral home, he said, you know what, it might help the family if I could tell them she's saved. So he went to the Sunday school teacher who'd been teaching this girl, and he said, ma'am, I've got to preach this girl's funeral tomorrow. I don't know if she's saved or not. She hadn't been coming long. But you've been teaching her in Sunday school. Can you tell me if she's saved? And that teacher said, you know, 3 weeks ago, God just burdened my heart to witness that girl after class. And somebody came up and started talking to me, and I didn't get to her, and I forgot about it. Preacher, I don't know if she's saved or not. They said, well, I'll go to her best friend. And so he went over to her best friend and said, honey, I got to preach this funeral tomorrow. And I think it'd be a comfort to the family if I could get in the pulpit at the funeral and say she was saved and tell about how she got saved, when she got saved. Say, can you tell me she was saved? And that girl said, preacher, 2 weeks ago, God spoke to my heart and said, you need to talk to her about Jesus. And I was going to, but I got busy doing this and doing that and preaching. I'm so ashamed. I never got my. I don't know. So the preacher said, I guess someone knows her mama. So she went to her mama and said, ma'am, I hate to ask you this, but was your daughter saved? And the mama hung her head and started crying. She said, preacher, 2 days ago, God spoke to my heart and said, you better talk to your daughter about salvation. And I was going to, preacher, but I put it off. Oh, preacher, I don't know if she's saved or lost. She's in heaven or hell. All of them had a chance, but they didn't take advantage. And folks, if we're really going to be ready for the Lord to come, number one, never under any circumstances go anywhere that you wouldn't want to be when Jesus comes. Number two, never under any circumstances neglect your Christian duties. And number three, take advantage of every opportunity you have to tell your family about Jesus, because that might be the last time you'll have that opportunity before Jesus comes. Several years ago, and I know I didn't tell you this story when I was here, my wife and I raised her baby brother for several years, and he got to an age and he just wanted to go home, and he went home and he got married and he got into drugs. And one night I was in revival down at Brookhaven, Mississippi, and my phone rang and my wife said, you got to come home. I said, honey, I can't in an hour. I got to go. She said, you don't understand. My brother just murdered his wife. He stabbed her 38 times, took a 12-gauge shotgun and killed himself. You got to come home. And when I got home and we went through the thing, I looked, God, man, I said, you know what? I didn't know whether my sister-in-law was saved or not. She was a Roman Catholic. I said, this ain't going to happen no more. I sat down and wrote a letter to every relative I could get their address. And I said, I don't know if you're saved or not, but I'm going to tell you how to get saved. And I sent it to why? Because I didn't know if I'd ever have another chance. You don't know when Christ is going to come. So if you're really going to be ready, you better take advantage. Every opportunity God gives you to win your family. One more, and I'm through. If you're really going to be ready when Christ comes, you got to get saved. Wait, that's not all. You got to get saved. But you got to get saved tonight. The Bible says when Christ comes, He's not coming for church members. He's not coming for those who've been baptized or those who joined the church or the religious. I hate to upset you, but He's not coming for the Baptists. I know some of them ain't going. He's not coming for the Methodists or the Pentecostals or the Roman Catholics or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Church of Christ or the Episcopalians or the Church of God in Christ, the Assemblies of God, the Nazarene. He's not coming for any of that good. Jesus is coming for the born-again, blood-washed children of God who've repented of their sin and received Christ as their Lord and Savior, trusting His death, burial, and resurrection to save them from sin and hell. And if you haven't done that, then my friend, when He comes, you're going to be left behind, and you're not going to be left behind in the same world you're in tonight, because when Christ comes, the church age will end and the tribulation will begin, and for 7 years this world's going to be turned into hell on earth. In fact, the Bible says it's going to be so bad if it lasts any longer than 7 years, nobody could live through it. Over half of the world's population is going to die. There are 8.1 billion people living on planet Earth now. That means at least 4 billion people are going to die in the last 3 years of the tribulation period. And everyone that had a chance to be saved before Christ came, Thessalonians tells us, will never have another chance. God's going to send strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. They're doomed to burn in the lake of fire for all eternity, for all hope. And if you're not saved when the Lord comes, my friend, you're going to be left and lost forever. Now, if there's going to be a sign, if there's going to be some cataclysmic event that would let you know you've got so many hours or minutes or seconds even, you might be able to fall on your knees and get saved. Since there's no way to really know when He's going to come, if you're going to be ready, you've got to be saved, and you've got to get saved tonight. Because, my friend, Jesus could come before this service is over. He could come while you're asleep tonight. He could come tomorrow while you're at work or school. He may not come for 100 years. He may not come for 1,000 years. But statisticians tell us that, my friend, the odds are as great that He could come tonight as they are for Him to come 100 years or 1,000 years from now. And if He came tonight and you're not saved, you're lost forever. So if you're not saved, you need to get saved tonight, tomorrow, maybe too late. Next Sunday, maybe too late. Because Jesus is coming. We don't know when. We just know He is. Don't listen to that crowd that says He can't come until they get the temple built in Jerusalem. Don't listen to that crowd that says they're going to have to reorganize the priesthood and reestablish the sacrificial system in the reconstructed temple before Christ can come. If I'm saying something you don't agree with, straighten them out after I leave. Don't listen to that crowd that says He can't come till the Antichrist comes to power, because He's not coming till the middle of the trib. Now, if you want to stay through half the trib, I'll talk to the Lord about it when I get there, because I'm going before it starts. Don't listen to that crowd that's talking about all that's got to be done before the Lord comes. All the signs and prophecies have been fulfilled, and at any moment Jesus could step from the portals of glory and come to the clouds, and the trumpet would sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if you're not saved, you're not going. Christ came tonight, all the Christians would go, and you'd be left alone in this building to burn in the lake of fire without. In 1969, the largest hurricane that had ever hit anywhere in the United States of America was brewing in the Gulf of Mexico, Hurricane Camille. It was bearing down on Gulfport, Pascagoula. The police and the National Guard drove up and down Highway 90 for hours with loudspeakers saying, evacuate. There's a 20-foot tidal surge coming in front of that storm, and no house south of Interstate 20 will be standing in the morning. People were leaving by the thousands. They came to a mansion on Highway 90, and there were cars parked everywhere. And the police stopped and knocked on the door. And the people came to the door. They said, you got to get out. This is the worst hurricane you've ever seen. You got to leave. And they said, man, we're not leaving. We're having a hurricane party. And they begged and they pleaded. They said, we don't know exactly when it's going to hit, but it's coming. You got to get ready. And they laughed. Offered them a beer and watched them drive off. When the sun came up the next morning, only the foundation of the house was there. And none of the people in the house were ever found. They ignored God's warning. Go back to our text. It said they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and knew not. So the flood came and took them all away. But for 120 years, Noah had been preaching. There's a flood coming. There's a flood coming. You better repent. There's a flood coming. But they wouldn't listen to the preacher. I'm telling you tonight, there'll be no great sign, no cataclysmic event. But for 2,000 years, men of God have faithfully stood in the pulpit. Said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. That, my friend, only one you're going to have. And if you won't respond to that, there's no hope. How would it be with you if he came tonight? How would it be if he'd come last Saturday? Night. Last Friday night. Some of you were somewhere you wouldn't have wanted to be. The Lord came. Some of you here know that you've been neglecting your Christian duty, and you honestly wouldn't want the Lord to come back and find you like you are. There are people here who have lost loved ones, all of us do, but some of you have never done anything to try to get them saved. And some of you aren't even saved yourself. Be also ready. For in such an hour you think not. You know why you were where you were last Saturday night, Friday night? Because you didn't think he's come. You know why you're going Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, not in church? You're somewhere because you don't think he's coming. You know why some of you are still drinking and cussing and carrying on? Because you don't think he's coming. You know why some of you heard everything I said and you know you're not saved, you don't intend to get saved? Because you don't think he's coming. And he said, in such an hour you think not, son of man. What would you tell him if he came back tonight after hearing this sermon? Be ye also ready. Or in such an hour you think not. The Son of Man come. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.